Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great, awesome state of Pennsylvania. We want to pick up part 14 of our series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do, I think, a final part here on discerning of spirits, wrap that up, and then maybe talk about a couple of the others, maybe in highlight over the whole series here. I think this might be our final part. But only the Lord knows for sure. And of course, before we get started, as is my custom, I want to introduce my lovely, beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous wife, mighty woman of God, Miss Narka Karina.
Amen. Praise God. What a great introduction. Hello, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. We are so excited knowing that you are listening to what the Lord says through these podcasts. We know this is more than just information or a nice way to just pass some time. This is life-changing. This is powerful. This is the Word of God. And it is so good as Christians when we give our heart to the Lord, we then commit ourselves to into the hands of the Holy Spirit so that He may continue to teach us. And this is what this podcast is about, growing as Christians, being discipled, learning the truth and learning how to walk in it so that we may walk in that abundant life that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross and promised us.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful, as always is. Whenever you speak, people listen. You're a mighty blessing in my life, and I love you so much, sweetheart.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Okay, so where we left off at on the gift of discerning of spirits, of course, we're talking about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about, you know, the different manifestations that are given. It talks about 9 spiritual gifts, and one of them is the discerning of spirits. And this is the gift of discerning of spirits. Not to be confused with what some people call the gift of discernment. Because actually there is no particular gift in the Bible called the gift of discernment. We do have the Holy Spirit in us if we're born again. So we should be having the ability, or at least it should be increasing, the ability to discern through the Holy Spirit. But as far as a gift of discernment, because I've heard people say, well, I have the gift of discernment. Okay, to discern what? Well, that person's lying, or this person's not honest, and I sometimes I've heard preachers kind of laugh and say, you know, well, really, what a lot of people have is not the gift of discernment, but the gift of a suspicion. You know, because they're always questioning everybody and not trusting anybody. But on a serious note here, we're not talking about of gift of discernment itself. We're talking about the gift of discerning of spirits. And that means God, through a special manifestation, because it says the manifestation is given to each one to profit of all, and one is given, and one is given the gift of discerning of spirits. And that gift, as I said previously, with all these gifts, these are not gifts that we can turn on and off, you know, by pushing a button whenever we want them to operate. Is as the Spirit wills. So when He wills for someone to have the gift of discerning of spirits to come into operation, then He allows that. But we're depending upon Him totally for that gift to come into manifestation. So how it comes into manifestation, there may be a variety of interpretations on that, or, you know, personal experiences in that. You know, you shared yourself, sweetheart, about you discerned about this particular lady who was praying for people, laying hands on people and praying for people in the service, and you discerned that there was the wrong kind of spirit there.
That's correct.
So I do believe that falls under the gift of discerning of spirits, you know, but also in my experience, and as I've learned and studied from other ministries, sometimes the gift of discerning of spirits operates in different kinds of ways. Like, for example, being able to see into the spirit realm and see the spirit that's behind the situation. I've had that happen often in my life, not so much in my ministry, you know, where I would see spirits flying around in a room, you know, or walking across the floor. But most of the time I see them in the atmosphere flying around. I see a conflict going on, spiritual warfare. And it usually coincides with the oppression that I'm feeling, where I start feeling the heavy oppression. It could be depression or just confusion, oppression, whatever it might be. You can feel the peace is gone. You know, you're not feeling that. And when the Lord opens that up for me to see it, it's obviously to indicate to me that I need to pray and I need to do something, take authority over these spirits, because He's allowing me to see that I'm under attack. And generally, if I go to sleep without dealing with these spirits, then somehow they interfere with my sleep and mess up with my dreams and all that kind of stuff. And so my sleep is not peaceful at all. Mm. So I've learned over the years, by seeing these things prior to going to sleep, that I need to do some spiritual warfare, and it needs to be serious about it, not just flipping like, oh, get out in Jesus' name. No, I need to quote scriptures. I need to pray. I need to do all the things I need to do to get them to depart from the premises. Okay, so let's talk about some cases here. Now, of course, I can give you some other examples of my own life, but I don't think it's necessary right now. I think later on what we might do in some other series, we might do a series on each one of these gifts particularly and make a series on each one of them.
That'd be great.
You know, because I think discerning of spirits could in itself be a series itself, although we've done, what, three parts now? I think this is the third part on it. But anyway, so with that being said, I want to kind of just highlight a few things here and then cover a couple of the others, and we'll wrap up this particular series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Okay,
this is more of an overview series, even though we've done now, this is our 14th part. This is more of an overview of each one of these gifts, not in depth on each one.
And we encourage the listeners, if they haven't listened to the prior ones, to please take a moment and do that, because there's a lot that has been shared, and I know they definitely will be greatly enriched.
Amen. That's so true. I do believe that it would be very helpful. Okay, so let's look at an example here of Jesus' ministry in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, it says here in verse 22, it says, "Then one was brought to him," to Jesus, "who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw." Okay, so I said in one of my previous podcasts, I think in this series, I don't remember which one it was, but I was talking about demon possession. And the Greek word for demon possessed in most of these cases was the one Greek word demonized. Not necessarily meaning fully demon possessed, fully possessed, but it could also mean one who was oppressed of the devil. You know, because if you're demonized, you can be at different stages and levels of demonic oppression, from low levels to higher levels to full possession. So I think this is a mistranslation when they say one who is demon-possessed, you know, given the idea that this person was completely taken over by demons and was deranged and out of their mind, like, you know, we read about the example of the guy from the Gadarenes, you know, the demoniac that had the legion of demons in him.
Right.
Now, see, here he says that one was brought to him who was demonized. I'm going to translate that properly. One who was demonized, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Now, what exactly happened here that he healed him? He cast out the demon, and the demon, by the very virtue of being cast out and commanded to leave, did that cause him to be able to see now? And the inability to speak, now he can speak. Was the demon behind this?
He was.
Because it says clearly here, he was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute both spoke and saw. So it should be easy to conclude that that demonic spirit was what was behind it. Now, how would Jesus know that this guy was demon-possessed or, you know, demonized? How do you know it's a demon causing this? That it wasn't simply just blindness or muteness? Now, some might say, well, Jesus knows everything because he's the Son of God. No, he said we've established this in this series, if you've listened to this, that Jesus said clearly the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, the Son does in likewise manner. He said it in John chapter 5, verse 19. So he had to discern by the discerning of spirits, or he had to receive a word of knowledge, which I've established in an earlier podcast, that the word of knowledge is a gift manifesting to give a supernatural revelation of something, of information about some situation. And it could be that, oh, a demon is causing this problem. Now, someone might say, well, brother, I'm not so sure about that in this verse because it says he was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. How do we know that demon possession or demonization had anything to do with being blind and mute? Maybe those were separate cases. Okay, well, I'll grant that in this case where it doesn't say that so clearly. But let's look at some others that do. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, where Jesus was dealing with a woman in verse number 10, where he says here, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no wise raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and he said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity.
Hallelujah.
And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, it says here that she has a spirit of infirmity. Is that her spirit is infirm? Or is that another spirit that's in her causes infirmity?
Another one in her.
I would conclude that, and the reason why I would conclude that is because of what he says here further on. He says down here when the ruler of synagogue in verse 14 answered with indignation because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. And of course, Jesus rebukes him, but then he says down here in verse 16, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now, how did he know she'd been bound for 18 years? Maybe she told him? I don't know. That's not mentioned. Or maybe he had a word of knowledge. We don't know that for sure. But we do know this. He said Satan had bound her. He made that very clear. This was a work of the devil. And he says here in verse 11, it was a spirit of infirmity. And in verse 12, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. So this is pretty clear evidence to me that this was an evil spirit causing the infirmity. Now, we also know in other cases, like let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, about the boy that kept throwing himself in the fire and the water. You know, it says here, in verse 20, so they brought to him, then they brought him to him, talking about the boy who had this spirit. It says in verse 17, the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Well, it's interesting that the man knows that he has a spirit, but Jesus says down here, that's before Jesus speaks this. Let me clarify something here, because there's some people maybe hearing this for the first time and not read or listened, you know, read this passage before or heard this taught before, or even what I've said about it in a previous podcast. It says in verse 20, then he brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. And I said, how we know it's a spirit? And Jesus, so he asked his father, Jesus did, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, he said to him, from childhood. And often throw them into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible in who believes. Now there's a podcast series right there just on that one verse. If you can believe, all things are possible in him who believes. I love that verse. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Anyway, verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. So he says here, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Was this a gift of discerning of spirits? Perhaps. Or a word of knowledge.
Yeah, he called him by name.
Yeah, so he knew what kind of spirit this was. So he had a word of knowledge, or he had a gift of discerning of spirits. I'm not going to say it's one or the other for sure when I don't know. But the discerning of spirits is being able to see or know in the spirit realm what spirit is behind a situation. Specifically. And so that being the case, I can give an example of my own life where the gift of discerning of spirits came in operation. And I'm going to talk about first before it came into operation of how I dealt with depression. There's a particular time that I was going through depression, and I would get depressed when I'd come home from my job on the weekend. I had an office job in a corporate business office. It was an easy job, wasn't hard, no stress, no problems there. It just seemed that when I come home on Friday, all of a sudden depression would come on me. And I'd close the curtains and get in bed and pull the blanket over my head. And I'm like, till Monday morning, my whole weekend seemed ruined. And I didn't understand what was going on. There wasn't anything particular going on in my life that for I had a reason to be depressed. It was just happening, and it seemed to happen several weeks in a row. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I remember walking out one day to go down to get something to eat, and because I had no food in the house. And I actually think I was walking over to Burger King. And anyway, I left my apartment, walked out the back of the apartment and crossed the parking lot, and I heard a preacher that I really loved to listen to, Norville Hayes. I used to listen to him a lot. Well, I still listen to him. But he was, some cassette tapes I used to listen to. And I just heard this come up from within me in my spirit. He said, if anything ain't right, if anything, if it ain't the fruit of the Spirit, if it ain't love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all this, the fruit of the Spirit, named all these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. He said, if anything's not right, if it's not those things, it said the devil resist it. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I'm like hearing this, like I'm hearing it, like I'm listening to the tape. And I thought to myself, depression, could this depression really be the devil? Could it really be? I didn't see nothing. You know, I've discerned spirits before that where I saw them, but I didn't see anything. I didn't feel anything. So I thought to myself, well, you know, what would it hurt to believe it might be so and see? So I said, okay, if this is of the devil, if this depression is of the devil, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus and I command it to go. And all of a sudden I felt the depression immediately leave instantaneously, wow. Instantly gone. And I stopped. I was like, wow, what just happened here? Okay, so I didn't have the gift of discerning of spirits. So what I'm prefacing that to say this, because later on, I don't know, maybe a couple of years later, I don't know when it was exactly, but there was a few years later that I was out in Maryland. That particular case where I had that happen was in Tennessee. Now I'm living in Maryland a few years later, and I remember I was in my car and I was waiting on getting a job, and I was, I didn't even have an apartment or anything yet. And I remember one afternoon, all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my car, and I felt something coming up over the hood. And I could feel it was depression, a spirit of it. I can feel the spirit coming up over the hood. I didn't see it, but I felt it, and it was starting to come through my windshield at me. And I said, oh, no, you don't, in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, spirit of depression, in the name of Jesus. And it went like that.
Wow.
Gone. And I thought to myself, wow, if I hadn't have done that, that right. thing would have got on me, all over me.
Again.
And I would have been so oppressed for who knows how long. And see, this is a good point to say right here, that if you sense an evil spirit in your room, because, you know, there's people talk about that, they sense an evil spirit enter into their bedroom or wherever, and you're thinking about, I wonder what it's up to. What they're up to, no good, evil. Resist it in the name of Jesus. Don't give it any place at all. because the longer you let that thing stay there, the longer it seems to be able to stay. I don't know how that happens, but it seems like they become more established because they bring in their cousins with them, and they oppress the whole atmosphere, and then now you're trying to go to sleep and sleep it off, and you know they'll attack you in your sleep, in your dreams. So anyway, let me give another example of this in my own life, where I saw a spirit. And this goes back to a conversation I had with, you know, a person, you know, a number of years ago. And I was studying the Bible, studying the Word, having a good time in the presence of the Lord. You know, it was the evening time, the light was on, it was night, and I'm on my bed, fully clothed, laying on top of the bed and reading the Bible and enjoying, all of a sudden hearing this conversation going in my head between me and this person, which turned into an argument. And I'm like, I shook it, like, what am I doing? What am I thinking about that for? Let me get back to the Bible, get back to the Word. So I got back to the Word, got back to reading. And a few moments later, it came again. And I was like, when I caught myself thinking about that, I shook my head again to shake it off. And it went away. And I went back to reading the Word again. And it seemed like a few more minutes later, I was distracted again. And I'm hearing that conversation in my head the third time. And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, what is this? I'm trying to study the Word, read, and spend time in the presence of God. What is this happening here? And all of a sudden, I heard the voice of the Lord. Not audibly, but in my spirit, as if it was audible. He said this, and I know it was the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. He said, that's the devil, he's over there. Those exact words. And I didn't think over where. In my spirit, I knew where over there was. And I turned and I looked to the window and I saw a spirit sitting in the window like a three-dimensional form, like a monkey. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I couldn't see no eyes and arms and all that. I saw a form there. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, what? He's doing that from like 8 feet away? Because I used to think demons had to get on people to do something. No, they can project from even a distance if they're in a room or whatever. And so I pointed my finger and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Before I even got the name of Jesus out, the thing went through the window and what felt like an iron band around my head, which I didn't even know it was that much pressure at that time. Wow. It just popped off in that whole conversation that I was having with that person, that hearing all that was just gone instantly. And all of a sudden, revelations just started coming to me. What was this all about? One was the devil was trying to keep me out of the Word. Next, he was accusing me for why I was having this attack. It's interesting because all these different thoughts that were coming to me. You know, one was, well, see, you know, if you were a true man of God, you know, you think God's called you to be a minister and preacher, and you're going to teach the Bible, you're not going to be any quality person, man of God, because if you were, you wouldn't be having these negative thoughts like this. So now, not only was he trying to keep me out of the Word, but he was trying to condemn me for the attacks that he was putting on me. And see, that's how he works. He tries sometimes they come with multiple things they're trying to accomplish. Get you out of the Word. Because the Bible says, you know, Jesus even said this himself in the parable of the sower. He said, when the word is sown, the enemy comes immediately. And I looked that up, and that's exactly what he said, you know, in the Greek. He comes immediately to steal the word. He's busy, busy. They're busy. These demon spirits are busy. And the person thinks, well, you know, you're one who sees the devil behind every bush. Well, here's the thing. The earth, it says in Isaiah 60 that darkness covers the earth. And deep darkness to people. And these are demonic spirits that are all over the earth, the spiritual darkness that's over the earth, which will include evil spirits. They're here to oppress people, to keep people from believing the gospel, to keep people from progressing if they become a Christian. So they're there. They're out there. You know, if you're swimming in the ocean and you're in shark-infested waters, you know you need to get out of there. Well, I'm not saying demons are infested in every location equally all the time, everywhere. They're not, but they can be. It's like you can go in the ocean and swim, and you can, you know, a shark could, you know, they come up to beaches all the time. and snatch somebody or bite their arm or leg off or, you know, bite them to the degree where they're bleeding and have to go to the hospital maybe to survive. But, you know, they're there. The ocean is their domain. Well, this natural world is their domain. And unless you're walking in faith with Jesus, the Lord Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, and you have the full armor of God on, you know, you're subject to the devil. You know, it's just the way it is. He's out there. So, you know, I'm here to say, the reason why I'm saying all this, say this, is for those who say, well, you see a devil behind every bush, they're naive. The devil's in the world. The demon spirits are, Satan is the god of this world. And we need to be equipped. This is why we're told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles or strategies of the devil, because they're real. And so the gift of discerning spirits is one of those things that God can give a gift and manifest that would help people to be able to see what's behind the situation. Like, for example, with Jesus seeing that this woman had a spirit of infirmity, he was able to see the root cause of the situation. It wasn't simply a spinal condition. Like, and for example, we're not saying that all physical conditions, sicknesses, and diseases are caused all by demons, but we're saying they can be. And we need, through the gift of discerning of spirits or the word of knowledge, to be able to discern that, because what good is it do, you know, because this is the whole point of why I'm talking about this gift. What good it would do to go to the doctor to be treated for arthritis, and if there's a spirit of arthritis behind it. You can get all the medications in the world, and creams and everything you can think of, as well as advice on nutrition. And yet, if there is a spirit there, that spirit ain't going nowhere just because you change your diet. You know, same with diabetes or any other disease, you know, that may be affecting someone that could be caused by an evil spirit. Now, again, I'm not saying that all sickness and disease are caused by evil spirits, but where they are, we need to be able to know that and deal with the spirit, because otherwise we're going to be spending a lot of money and time and effort going to doctors to try to alleviate a problem that the spirit is behind. And even especially stuff that's affecting someone psychologically. You know, going to counseling, going to therapy, going to see a psychologist, a shrink, you know, psychiatrist, and your psychiatrist will put you on medications and all that and say it's a, you know, it's a imbalance in the brain, bipolar and all that. I'm not saying some of that can't be physical conditions, but yet if we seek God and understand that it could be a spirit, then we're better well equipped to be able to deal with the situation with these things if we believe. Because that's the thing. A lot of people think everything's natural. Even a lot of Christians think everything's natural. If it can't be the devil, because Christians can't be affected by demons, because if they're saved and born again, then somehow the devil has to leave them alone. Well, that's a lie. That's a fallacy. Because if it was true that the devil had to leave a Christian alone simply because they're born again, then why would Paul say to give no place to the devil? To Christians in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 4:27, he says, neither give place to the devil. Why did he say that? Because you can give place to the devil. Now, that could be purposeful or, you know, or inadvertent. You know, we can give place to the devil. We talked about this with some of these other things under the gift of discerning the spirits, which was not a gift itself manifesting. It was discerning different operations of how the devil works, like people messing around with Ouija boards and astrology and, you know, going to see a fortune teller and all this. That is a way to give place to the devil, allow him to come into their life. You know, things that they watch on TV and all that kind of stuff, or things that they get involved in. But at the same time, we can give place to him by simply not believing he can do anything, that he can't be behind any of these sickness and diseases and ailments and even psychological problems. So he can, and he is behind a lot of it. I would even dare to say he's behind most of it, especially psychological stuff. And people need to be aware. So this is where I want to kind of conclude this gift. And I think we might do one more part on kind of wrapping up some of these other gifts, because we haven't talked about the gifts of healings. And to me, that's kind of self-evident, but not to everybody. And kind of do a highlight over the whole the whole nine gifts of the Spirit in the next part. So you want to add anything to that, sweetheart, before we get to the invitation?
I'm thinking of some of the listeners might be thinking, wow, I really want to make sure that my ailment, that, you know, this, what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, what I've been suffering with for years, that it's not just a natural physiological issue. Maybe if it is a spirit, what do I do? I don't think I have the gift of discernment of spirits. So what advice can we share with our listeners? How should they tackle this? What should be their next step if they are going through, let's just say, anything? I don't want to name anything specific, but whatever suffering they're going through, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, what should they do?
Well, I'd say the first thing you need to do is, and this is not even related to necessarily to if you're going through something, but just the general premise of surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus. Surrendering your life completely to Him and making Him Lord over your life, not just Savior, the one who you've accepted to save you from your sins, but also make Him Lord. Because when you make Him Lord, He's the one who directs your life. He's your boss, you might say. And then He can direct your life. Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, He says, if you continue in My word, then you are truly My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if you're willing to continue with Him, He will lead you and guide you into everything you need to know. So when you're asking, could this be a spirit behind it, or is this a natural sickness, or whatever, you know, even with your job searching or looking for a spouse or where you should move and what you should do, what your calling is, what His plan is for your life, all these things He knows, and He will guide you into all truth through His Holy Spirit. When you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's given to you not just to seal you for the day of redemption, which that's part of it, but He's also given to you to guide you into all truth and direct your life according to His plan. And that plan includes getting set free from everything you're oppressed by, mm-hmm. and getting knowledge to be fully equipped and be able to help other people as well. So by surrendering your life to the Lord and seeking Him and going to church and getting, and even ask Him to lead you to the right church, because as much as I say go to church, I can't agree with saying go to any church, because some churches don't believe in any of these things. You say, well, then how are they a Christian church if they don't believe in all these things? Well, it's based on doctrine and denominational foundations. And so it is that some churches, many of them, don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So they can operate. You can't operate in something you don't believe in, because the Lord works by faith. And if you don't believe the gifts are for today, then generally they're not for you or for your church, because the Lord has established in His word the foundations of faith. That when you believe in Him, if you, how can He, like for example, how can He save somebody who don't believe Jesus died on the cross? You know, because that's the foundation of faith, is that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And if you say, well, I don't believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, then you can't be saved. You can't be saved until you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and you accept that. So the same way, it works a lot for the gifts of the Spirit. They don't operate primarily because many Christian churches don't believe in for being for today. So therefore, when you talk about can a spirit be behind a situation, an ailment, anxiety, fear, a psychological disorder, arthritis. Now, we don't believe in all that. So guess what? They're not open for the opportunity for the Lord to reveal that generally, because they shut that door off. They don't believe in those gifts because, one, we talked about this. Paul said, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And what gifts was he talking about? Those nine spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. So if you're not desiring them, then you're probably not going to ever get them. And if your church preaches against them, then they're not ever going to see them, because God is a God of faith. Just, well, if you don't believe in Jesus as a healer, then you're most likely never going to be healed. You know, so that's the way it works. You know, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So if you will surrender your life to the Lord, give your life to Him to follow Him, He will guide you into all truth, because He promises to do that.
Amen. What a good advice. And we can never go wrong with the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's definitely something that every Christian should always do. Ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. And you know what? God is so good that He wants to guide us more than we want to be guided. So that's the good God that we serve. And of course, we have to always extend the invitation to those people who have not given their heart to the Lord. We are all born separated from the Lord because we sin, because of sin, because of Adam and Eve. We inherited the sin. You may be thinking, I'm not such a bad person. I'm a good person. I haven't killed anyone. But because you and I were born, the fact that we were born, we already have sin in our spiritual DNA. So we need to be born again. And that's the gift that we get through Jesus Christ. As I said before, we have sin and we cannot have life with sin. So either Jesus Christ pays for your sin or you have to pay for it yourself with eternal death. And that's not what He wants. So what you have to do is admit that we are a sinner. Admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess Him as Savior and Lord. And you know what? When you do that and ask Him into your heart, into your life, He takes that invitation seriously and you are then considered a born-again believer. And we definitely, if you have made that decision today, we welcome you to the family of God.
Amen. Couldn't say it any better myself, sweetheart. So with that, we'll conclude this podcast, and hopefully we'll see you next time. So have a good night or good morning, wherever you're at. God bless you.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.